हमारी अधूरी कहानी, a कहानी probably better off left अधूरी. How did a film Mahesh Bhatt called one of his best end up so so wrong? And what next for Vidya Balan after her kahani took another backward step? That plus the role of women in Bollywood, your comments, and a whole lot more on this week's Bollywood Weekly. Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Bollywood Weekly, India's first ever podcast focused entirely on Bollywood. And this week's guest is Mac. Mac, thank you for being here. And we are going to discuss, first of all, Hamari Adhuri Kahani. Thoughts, Mac? I don't even know where to begin with this movie.
I hope I'm getting a reimbursement from TIC for $12 that I spent and 2 hours that I spent on that movie. I thought it was one of the most ridiculous movies I've seen in recent history. What did you think?
I don't even know how to start. I think, first of all, the biggest problem was the dialogue. The dialogue was just the most cheesy, regressive things I've heard in any Bollywood movie since the 90s, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, I mean, I'm going to talk about the scene when both of us looked at each other and were like, okay, so what the hell did I just hear? Let me give some background. Imran Hashmi is this hotelier who owns 108 hotels, which is made pretty clear to the audience about 5 times throughout the movie. 108 hotel ka malik. And Vidya Balan is a florist in one of his hotels. And there are no like plot giveaways in this summary that I'm giving. But basically, he wants to test how good a job his staff is doing in this particular hotel. So he stages a fire and no one knows that he's the owner of the hotel. Basically, the head of security, all the staff, like, leave the hotel and were like, forget this, like, we care about our lives. And then the florist, who is Vidya Balan, like, runs up to the 50th floor of the building to save this VIP guest. And then he calls his business manager, who is, by the way, a brilliant actor. And says, cancel the operation, like, it's been successful, I figured out who's doing what at their job. And then he says this amazing line that he's speaking to his staff, right now, and he's like, you know, like, is this the way you react when there's a fire going on? A woman had to come save me from the fire. And, I mean, as you said, Pish, like, they were trying to show that the woman's ex-husband was this extremely, like, sexist, horrible, backward guy. And then the opposite is Imran Hashmi, who's very forward-thinking. But even Imran was giving off these kind of dialogues. So it was just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. So to add some more context, Vidya's husband in the movie is played by Rajkumar Rao, who famously also played Kangana's husband in Queen. And his character is this quite crazy, unhinged guy whose views on women are extremely backward. And his philosophy is that, oh, once I marry a woman, she's my property and I can do what I please. And the movie is supposed to show how ridiculous and backward this is. And it's supposed to contrast his character with that of Imran Hashmi, who is supposed to be this modern, forward-thinking, progressive guy. But it's very hard to take that notion seriously when you have Imran Hashmi, who says things like, your security team is so bad, a woman had to come and save me. And there is another ridiculous scene where he asks Vidya Balan to send him a picture of herself. And he says, oh, I want to run a story for this magazine. And Vidya Balan says, okay, I'll main photo leke manager ko bhej dungi. And he's like, no, send it straight to me. Only to me. And throughout the whole movie, he's just asking her to send photos of herself. And it's just really strange, and it just seems very out of place and not tasteful at all. So it's the whole message kind of gets lost when you have, scenes like this, which completely take away from what the point of the movie is supposed to be. Since we talked about the husband, he is by far the best part of the movie.
Yes.
Whenever he's in the movie, like, it's actually interesting and it's worth watching. And he's a pretty big part of the story. But unfortunately, they spend about 15 minutes, 5 minutes at the start and 10 minutes at the end, on him. And the rest is just Imran Hashmi and Vidya Balan romancing each other in the most unbelievably cringeworthy way possible. And yeah, so the dialogue was just horrible. The music was also not really that great. I mean, the title song is okay, but none of the music is really.
I thought in the trailer, actually, the title song sounded far better, and I didn't really hear it. I mean, it wasn't that prominent in the movie. So, you go and you walk into a Mohit Suri movie. The best thing about it is usually the songs, whether it's Aashiqui 2 or
Ek villain.
Ek Villain, exactly. Like Teri Galiyan, amazing song, but here, nothing great. And also, can we just talk about how Mahesh Bhatt said that this is based on his life? So Jannat is based on his life. Avarapan is based on his life. This is based on his life. Like,
He
how
had a
much
really
shit
depressing
has
life,
happened in
basically.
his life? I don't get it. Like, which character do you think he is? Like, the business manager? I don't
That's really strange. I didn't
know.
know he said it was based on his life.
Yes, he wrote the movie. And he said, like, best movie I've written in all time. And people are like, wow, Mahesh Bhatt is writing a movie again. It's kind of like Aditya Chopra directing or Yash Chopra directing again. It was that kind of a moment, and it was such a letdown.
Yeah, and I think what you said yesterday is probably right, that because he wrote it and made such a big deal about it, no one had the guts to tell him that, hey, this is actually pretty crap and we need
Yeah.
to do something about it.
So the other thing that we were discussing is that, so I think the worst part of the about the movie was the dialogue. The actors were actually all great actors, and you can see that they were like trying to be very sincere about the role that was given to them. As you mentioned, Rajkumar Rao was brilliant playing this maniac, unhinged guy. Imran Hashmi, I mean, playing his typical romantic, like pained guy. And Vidya Balan, I mean, she's a bit, I don't particularly like her, and she's a bit shrill at times, but fine, she was doing her best with the role. But I mean, these guys are smart actors. Like, Vidya Balan is considered extremely smart. Rajkumar Rao, when you see his interviews, you're like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. I don't understand. Like, when they were saying those dialogues, didn't they feel like there's something wrong with what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's the acting was also quite disappointing. So as I mentioned last week, I am quite a big fan of Imran Hashmi, and he just looked bored throughout the movie. He just looked and sounded bored. And yeah, I guess he's playing the same role for like the 10th time now, so maybe that makes
Yeah.
sense. Even Vidya Balan, of course she's fine and she does what she has to do, but there are some scenes where it's just such a terrible overacting. Like, there's this one scene where we both burst out laughing,
Oh my God.
where her mother is telling her to,
Her
if
mother-in-law.
mother-in-law, sorry,
Yes.
mother-in-law
That
is
makes it even like.
her mother-in-law is telling her to leave her husband and throw away her Mangalsutra, and her reaction is just, I don't know how to describe it. She just recoils back in her seat and like puts her head in her hands, and it's just so dramatic, so unbelievably.
She's like, नहीं, मैं ये मंगलसूत्र कैसे उतार सकती हूँ? ये सदियों की वैल्यूज हैं मैं इसमें
संस्कार
संस्कार. ओ एंड हाउ इमरान हशमीज मदर, हु बाय द वे वाज
कैबरे
अ
डांसर.
कैबरे अ सेल्फ प्रोक्लेम्ड, शी वाज अ कैबरे डांसर. एंड शी विद द टोन दैट शी सेड इट, शी कंसिडर्ड इट लाइक अ लोली लाइक ऑक्यूपेशन और वट एवर इट इज. एंड दिस वुमेन हु सीन दैट इन लाइफ. And is like Imran, now that he's really well to do and all of that, he's put his mom up in this normal, well set up house. She looks at Vidya Balan, who walks in a perfectly normal salwar kameez. And Imran introduces her clearly as his love interest to the mother. And the mother is like, ये बंजारन कौन है जो तुम्हारे साथ आ गई. एंड आई एम लाइक, इन विच सिनारियो लाइक वुड समवन एक्चुअली से दैट टू समवन.
या एंड देन देयर आर ऑल दीस अनइंटेंशनली फनी मोमेंट्स व्हिच शुड नॉट बी. बट या ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ स्ट्रेंज थिंग्स हैपन इन द मूवी. लाइक सो फॉर एग्जांपल विद्या बालन इज यू नो हस्बैंड रन्स अवे एंड सो शी इज अ सिंगल मॉम. शी हैज दिस यू नो 6-year-old son and Imran Hashmi offers her a job in Dubai. And she's like, no, I can't take it. My family is here. I can't leave. And then suddenly 5 minutes later, she changes her mind. She goes to Dubai and leaves the son in Bombay. And you just don't see any sign of the son, the 80% of the movie.
Like throughout the movie, I kept turning to Pish and being like, so what about the son? Where is the son?
Yeah. And we expect the son to have an important role because the way the story is told is the son is reading a book about his mom's life. That his reading his dad's diary, basically. Very strange.
What's a horrible name for the son? Sanj.
Sanj.
I thought it was a nickname for like Sanjeev, but no. Throughout the movie, it was Sanj. And another ridiculous scene is when Vidya Balan is leaving Dubai for whatever reason. And the way she tries leaving is like, dude, you're the florist at this hotel. You can easily like rent a car and go to the airport. And this hotel is like set in like the desert outside Dubai, and she leaves the hotel and the scene is literally her walking with her like suitcase on this road surrounded by desert. I was like, man, it was just comical, to be honest.
Yeah, and she leaves saying, oh, I want to leave, I don't want to like tell the management, etc. And then she writes a letter explaining that she doesn't want to tell the management and then gives it to like her boss. And it's like, oh my god.
And this multi-millionaire guy, Imran Hashmi, another really comical scene. The moment he sees this florist setting up flowers in his room, he realizes he loves her, whatever it is. You see, there's a scene where he's writing her name, Vasudha, 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 on a piece of paper. I'm like, this man is not 5 years old in middle school or in middle school. Like, no one seriously writes the name of the person they like again and again on a piece of paper. And then magically, when Vidya Balan is leaving Dubai and she's walking on that road in the desert, she's holding that piece of paper that says Vasudha, Vasudha, Vasudha.
Okay. So it's pretty clear this was a pretty terrible movie. Was there anything good about the movie apart from Rajkumar Rao?
Besides Rajkumar Rao. I mean, see, I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to say that this is how backward people are. This is how people's marriages are. And in the end, fine, she's liberated. But honestly, the execution, the dialogues, the setup, the supporting actors, everything was so poor, so unbelievable. I mean, what do you think about Vidya Balan, actually? We'll get back to if we found anything good in the movie. But like, Vidya Balan, this is like her fourth...
Yeah, like, I think you made this point yesterday. Yeah, it's interesting because there was a time like after the Dirty Picture where she was like the...
And Kahani,
where she was like the queen of Bollywood. She had won 3 consecutive Filmfares in a row, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she won the Filmfare Award for Kahani over Priyanka Chopra and Barfi. And at that point, I was like, I don't know why this decision was made. And she was on this career high. And then came Shaadi Ke Side Effects.
Ghanchakkar,
which I actually liked. Because Imran was brilliant and those 2 supporting actors that were with him were brilliant.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was... It
didn't do very well.
Yeah, and I can see why people didn't like it.
Yeah. And then after that, there was also Bobby Jasus, which was supposed to be her next big hit, which also didn't do very well.
Yes, and now this, I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether it's her choices or whether it's actually her that's bringing a movie down.
I don't think it's her, but I think she's now kind of been typecast as a specific, into a specific role or a specific type of role that she needs to play. And
you think so? What is that?
Which is basically a kind of, well, actually, this one was a bit different, but I was going to say it's kind of a independent woman who is doing her own thing, struggling, trying to protect for, provide for herself and her family, etc. And there are different ways. So in Dirty Picture, she's super brash and out there. In this one, she's more calm and docile. But that's more or less the thing. And I don't think she has, or whether she has the range or not, I don't know. But I don't think the perception is that she has the range of a Priyanka Chopra who could very easily play something like Marie Combe or something like Barfi, but also you could easily see her, and which she's done before, just playing a stereotypical, you know, heroine in a Shah Rukh Khan movie where she's just kind of running around doing.
Or a Kangana. And even she's shown tremendous range. Yeah, so to be honest, for me, it's kind of the other way. Linking it to what you said, given that she's always just playing the stereotypical character, like, she never makes a movie attractive for me. Like, I never want to go see a movie because she's in it. Not sure why. She just doesn't have that appeal. Sorry, going back to what you asked, do you think there was anything worth mentioning in the movie? Anything good that you liked?
No, I cannot think of anything. It was I was very disappointed because I thought it would be at least better than what it was. I didn't think it would necessarily be great.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the trailer made it look very interesting.
Yeah.
I'll give them that.
And that's the thing. The basic story was quite interesting, whereas, you know, this husband leaves and then she's kind of left to fend for herself and, you know, the police think he's a terrorist. But then he comes back and he might be innocent. And that whole storyline is quite intriguing and engaging, but they just shoehorn it in at the end. And, you know, the first 5-10 minutes is like the setup where you figure out that, you know, who the husband is, and he disappears, and that he's a bit of a crazy guy. And then, you know, there are all these plot lines that open up. Like, there's the police who ask Vidya Balan to be his informant in case her husband comes back. And then that just doesn't move for the next hour and a half. And then suddenly everything happens in the last, like, 20 minutes. And it's just super...
Yeah, that's right. Super, everything happens in the last 20 minutes and you're like, okay.
Yeah, and there's also, even when you get to the climax and stuff, it's very slow, very predictable. There's no tension or any sort of excitement. It was pretty, pretty flat.
And that brings us to the end of part one. We will leave you with a short snippet of the title track of the film before we come back for part two.
पास आए दूरियां फिर भी कम ना हुई एक अधूरी सी हमारी कहानी रही आसमां को जमीन ये जरूरी नहीं जा मिले जा मिले इश्क सच्चा वही जिसको मिलती नहीं मंजिले रंग थे नूर था जब करीब तू था एक जन्नत सा था ये जहां वक्त की रेत पे कुछ मेरे नाम सा लिख के छोड़ गया तू कहां हमारी अधूरी कहानी हमारी अधूरी कहानी
Okay, moving on. This week was quite an exciting week in terms of trailers. So a lot of new trailers coming out.
Yes.
So the first one that I think created the most buzz was Brothers, which is Siddharth Malhotra and Akshay Kumar. What did you think of it?
Two very good-looking people who are not the best actors. And I think that's exactly what the movie will be like. It will be very aesthetically good, because aesthetically pleasing, because it's a Dharma Productions movie. And it's got two really good-looking people. But very disappointing trailer. The premise seems a bit silly. Boxing isn't a big thing in India.
Yeah, and I mean, so this is a remake of the Hollywood movie Warrior, which did quite well. And yeah, it's just hard to believe that there would be the same kind of attention or buzz over boxing in India. And if you, even if you watch the trailer and they are trying to kind of hype up all these events and showdowns, and it just doesn't sound real.
Yeah. But let's see, music might come out, might garner enough attention.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think it will do well because Akshay Kumar has a pretty good track record at the box office, no matter what he does, more or less.
That's true.
So, yeah. Next was...
Also interesting to point out,
yeah.
Even though Akshay's wife is Karan Johar's best friend, this is like Akshay Kumar's first like movie with a Karan Johar or Aditya Chopra or someone like that directing or, I mean, producing. Generally, it's...
He was in Dil To Pagal Hai, right?
Okay.
Way back when.
And that was like a guest appearance. Yeah. And he was the worst thing about the movie. And that group of friends that Shah Rukh had was also pretty bad. So can you imagine how bad that was? But yeah, I think this is like his first movie with one of these big brand name directors. And I think that's saying something. So it should be exciting.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Karan Johar seems to be trying to just work with as many people as he can.
Yeah.
He did a movie with Anurag Kashyap. He's now working with Akshay Kumar. But yeah, let's see. Let's see how that turns out.
Yeah, he's teaming up with Rohit Shetty for a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, did not know that.
I think so. And then he's teaming up with Manmohan Shetty's daughter to remake Ram Lakhan, I think. So all sorts of new stuff.
Okay, moving on. Next trailer was Wazir, which I thought looks really interesting. Unfortunately, it only comes out in December. But Wazir is starring Amitabh Bachchan and Farhan Akhtar, and it's a Vidhu Vinod Chopra production, so I think there are high hopes there.
Yeah, I agree. It looked very interesting. I couldn't really figure out what the movie is about.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff happening in the trailer which didn't really make sense, but it looks interesting. Yeah. Amitabh Bachchan has also not had a... Before Piku, he had not had a great run of movies for a while. So this could be kind of his a good year for him again after a while. Next and last trailer we're discussing this week was Bangistan. I find this pretty interesting because it is a fairly offbeat movie, very unusual from what, very different from what you would otherwise see in Bollywood. Produced by Farhan Akhtar and Ritesh Sidwani, even though it is a much smaller budget movie, of course, similar to when they did Fukre, which did quite well.
I love the premise of the story. I think it's a hilarious setup.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was reading about it before the trailer release, I was like, wow, this sounds super interesting. And I love Ritesh Deshmukh. I think he's hilarious. Having said that, I expected the trailer to be far funnier. It was more like, there were funny visuals, but there weren't that many funny dialogues. But definitely going to go see the movie because the premise itself is...
So what is the premise of the movie? Because I had just seen the trailer and I didn't fully understand.
It's that it looks like a Hindu extremist terrorist group and a Muslim terrorist group have each got one of their guys to set up a bomb in the same location. So it's about... How, and then the Muslim terrorist plays a Hindu terrorist and the Hindu terrorist plays a Muslim terrorist and they try and set up a bomb in the same location. So it's obviously kind of a recipe for hilarious disaster. Moments and disaster. And I thought, just, you know, someone who's risky enough to play around with that premise in Bollywood and in India, it sounds pretty exciting. And I'm kind of surprised there have been no... FIRs and stuff like that from different groups and...
Oh, there's still time. That'll come, for sure.
Yeah.
Although it's releasing fairly soon. I think July 31st.
Oh, no way. That's very soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at the IFA Awards, apparently Arjun Kapoor and Ranveer Singh... Sorry, going a bit off track, but they were trying to make fun of Ranveer Kapoor and they were like, the name of the movie Roy should have been Destroy. Ha ha ha. And they also said that in Bombay Velvet, Anushka Sharma plays Rosie and Ranbir Kapoor took away the Rosie Roti of Anurag Kashyap. Like, who wow. writes these award ceremony scripts? I don't know.
That's usually I quite like watching the award ceremonies because there is some funny stuff that happens and it's the closest you get to roasting people without someone filing an FIR, as you rightly said. But that sounds quite bad. But okay, so that is it in terms of the trailers. I'm now going to move on to some audience comments and feedback. Do you have any other fun stuff that happened this week that you want to talk about before we do that?
I saw the picture of Shah Rukh and Kajol starting the Diwali shooting.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Kajol looking so fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I think she looks far better than she ever has. And while I'm not so excited personally for a Rohit Shetty, Shah Rukh Khan movie, that too, one called Dilwale, because I thought that they had squeezed whatever jokes they could out of Dilwale Dulhania and Chennai Express. But let's see. It has Varun Dhawan and Kirti Sanon as well, so hopefully something new.
Okay, moving on to audience comments. So I got a couple of comments asking me to review older and classic movies. That is not something that I was planning to do, but if that is something that is interesting, what I will try to do now is try to actually watch older and classic movies that I haven't seen yet, and so I can review it almost as if it's a new movie, as opposed to just going back to things that everyone already knows about. And I also am planning to do a segment of kind of below the radar movies, of many small budget and movies with less promotion, but which are also very good or very meaningful. So look out for both of those next week. And then my favorite comment that I got this week. Mac, you want to read out this comment?
So the comment is, why don't you do a segment on how Bollywood systematically degrades women and helps perpetuate the idea of women as sex objects with no brains? Thank you, please, bye. And holler at me when Bollywood starts to produce incredible, thought-provoking movies like Dallas Buyers Club or even movies as clever or entertaining as The Departed. Till then, you keep your Munnis and your Sheilas and your God, I don't even know. Wink.
Okay, so fairly powerful stuff. So I think so. That there's actually two parts of this. So let's first talk about the systematic degradation of women and then move on to whether Bollywood can make thought-provoking movies. So as a woman, what are your views? As a woman and a Bollywood fan, what are your views on Bollywood's typical treatment of women?
See, I mean, I don't have any issues against item numbers and wearing, like, a lot of people in India have issues with women wearing these skimpy clothes, as they call them, and smoking and drinking alcohol and doing drugs. Like, I have zero issues with that. And with Munnis and Sheilas, I think that's quite entertaining, actually. I have issues with, like, movies that we discussed today, Hamari Adhuri Kahani, where women are actually, like, portrayed. I mean, the people making these movies are in, like, so, like, sexist, and I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, oh, look how backward our society is, and they're trying to end the movie with an outcome where the woman is liberated, but in that process they still don't realize how inherent their sexism is, and that's reflected in the dialogue, in the demeanor of the woman, what the woman is expected to do.
I find it interesting that you say you don't have a problem with item numbers, because on the surface, it's a pretty sexist, degrading concept where you have women dancing in skimpy clothes, as you put it, and men just sitting there looking at this and, like, throwing money at them. So
I guess I'm kind of generalizing. Obviously, they're, like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't personally offend me. I don't know. Like, take the song Ghagra, right, where, like, Madhuri is doing her item number and she's meant to be a prostitute or whatever it is. I didn't see what was so wrong in that song. Like, I don't know why people would get offended by something like that. Okay, take BD Jalaile, which is that song, I think, from Omkara, where you have Bipasha Basu, is it?
Yeah.
Like, dancing, and there are men drinking around her and smoking. Well, I mean, I haven't visited that part of our country, but it happens. But that's... I think that's a reality. And I mean, if films are just reflecting that, then fine. But I can, and I don't have an issue with that if you're depicting reality. But I see what people are trying to say, that, oh, like, by reflecting that, you're telling people that, okay, this is enjoyable and this is okay to do and we are validating this. And I don't know, I just don't have that much of an issue about this Bollywood having to always uphold a positive social message with its movies. I'm not that much of a proponent of that type of cinema. Having said that, I think if you're trying to make an effort, like with the movie that we discussed earlier today, to show women empowerment, then you shouldn't mess up in that process and just make your actors say inherently messed up things. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, so my view on this is a bit that, okay, item numbers are a bit different because it's almost like just a cultural phenomenon. And I think there are ways to do item numbers in a classy way versus a trashy way. So that's one thing. But even more than item numbers, the bigger problem I have is some movies, like a lot of these comedies, etc., like Grand Masti and some others, where literally the entire purpose of the women in the movie is just as eye candy or sex objects, or, you know, they have no depth, no character, nothing.
Yeah.
But I also don't think that's a problem unique to Bollywood or India, because you find the same thing in American movies, American TV, etc. Which I think brings us on to the next point in this comment of why can't Bollywood make more thought-provoking movies? And I actually disagree, because I think in all countries and in all different film industries, there is a wide range of movies that come out. So yes, you have some pretty brainless movies where, you know, the common phrase is you say you leave your brain at home and you just go and you watch it. But then you also have extremely thought-provoking movies or entertaining movies like Kahani, or going back a few years, like Black, or even Dil Dhadakne Do, even though it's a comedy and it's satire, is quite thought-provoking in the issues that it brings up. So I don't fully agree with that point. And in the same way, while Hollywood comes up with Dallas Buyers Club and The Departed, etc., it also has its fair share of pretty cringeworthy movies, which also are equally disrespectful of women and have no real message or interest. So
I think, just again, what I was saying, like, I don't necessarily believe every film made should have a positive social message and should be thought-provoking in the sense that it makes you think about your values and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree that our movies need to get more intelligent and nuanced.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely required. I don't care as much about the social message part of movies, I think. And I agree with you. I think we make a fair share, and we're increasingly making more intelligent, nuanced movies that reflect our society. And it doesn't have to be just a Dil Dhadakne Do or a Kahani, right? Even take a movie like Tanu Veds Manu, intelligently made, nuanced, hilarious.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, the other, yeah, I agree with all of that. But my problem is also, I think we have a tendency to give Bollywood a kind of unfair rep while making concessions for Hollywood. So, for example, when I saw Fast and Furious 7, I didn't like the movie at all, but I don't like action movies. So people who like action movies obviously loved it. But everyone was talking about how it was amazing and how all the scenes were so good. And I was like, okay, if this exact same scene was in Race 2, which was exactly the case, where there's a scene in Fast and Furious where these guys all drive out of a plane, and the exact same thing happens in Race 2, while they're watching Race 2 or Dhoom or something like that, people are like, oh my god, this is so lame, this is so cheesy. But if someone else does it, you're like, oh man, this is amazing. So I have a problem with that aspect as well.
I agree with you, but I also think it's a question of aesthetic. I think that when Hollywood movies, at least on that scale, I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, even they have their fair share of idiotic movies that do extremely badly. Take Aloha, that released last week or last week with Bradley Cooper. It has Bradley Cooper in the movie, but apparently it's a horrible movie and I'm still waiting to see it. But I think it's a matter of aesthetic also. I think a Fast and a Furious has a far better, has a far higher production budget. As a result, the effects and the stunts and all of that are just done in a better way. When Bollywood tends to do these stunts, whether it's a, take a Krish, right, superhero movie, the aesthetics are just so poor, it makes it funny. I think if it was done well, we would be okay with it. Do you agree with that?
Partially, yes. But I also think that there are just some things, like in Fast and Furious, again, there's a scene where The Rock just gets up and he just like flexes his arm and his entire like cast breaks. And it's like, that's like right out of a Salman Khan movie. But we have a tendency to be more like disparaging of a Salman Khan or Akshay Kumar doing the same thing. Whereas when The Rock does it, it's like, oh, okay.
I guess we, as in, I mean, and this is something that me and you keep debating, that there's a whole population in India that likes a completely different type of movie, and that's fine. And they love Salman when he does that. And it's the same type of population in the US who loves Fast and the Furious type movies.
Yeah, completely agree. Good. And on that note, that is our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and please let us know your thoughts, feedback, comments, any opinions on some of the issues we've raised today. You can follow TIC Productions on Facebook and Twitter for regular updates, and please subscribe to the Bollywood Weekly podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud, which will give you regular updates directly to your phone. Thanks, and see you next week.
जगह हर कहीं बन गए मानते थे खुदा और हाँ वहीं बन गए हाँ हंसी बन गए हाँ नमी बन गए तुम मेरे आसमां मेरी जमीन